Tonight, Brother Barry Gaines, minister of the Chisholm Trail Church of Christ in Wichita, Kansas, will bring us a message to the church in prophecy. He's going to come out of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Okay, Brother Gaines, we look forward to hearing about the church in prophecy.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and welcome to our listening audience. Thank you for tuning in with us on this evening. We're thankful to God for this wonderful opportunity to come before you tonight and to share a message of salvation with you from the greatest book in the world, which is the Holy Bible. And want to thank once again Brother Brooks and the Highland Heights congregation for having the vision once again to have this great nationwide gospel meeting. It's so desperately needed in our world today. And so I'm thankful to him for his foresight in organizing this great effort to get the message of the gospel out to the world. If anyone is ever going to be saved, they're going to be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, in verse number 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So the gospel is God's power to save mankind on today. So once again, thank you so much for being a part of our listening audience on tonight. It is my prayer that as you go through this week, and as you study with the preachers who will bring messages this week, that you will have two things open, that you will have an open mind and an open Bible. Never take what anyone says about your soul salvation for granted. It's my prayer that you will always open the Word of God and search the Scriptures for yourself. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says that these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. These did not accept the Word of God without researching it for their for themselves. So have an open mind and an open Bible. This evening, I am going to share a message from the subject, the Church of Divine Prophecy. And when you look at the title, the Church of Divine Prophecy, we understand that the word divine simply means of or relating to or proceeding directly from God. The word prophecy, of course, means to forecast or the foretelling of something in the future. So the subject, the Church of Divine Prophecy, implies there is a forecasting or foretelling of the church that originates with and comes from God. And that's what we're interested in tonight. Many today in the religious arena are encouraged to attend the church of your choice. But the Church of Divine Prophecy is the church of Christ's choice. It's not my choice. It's not your choice. But it's simply the Church of Christ's church choice. The Church of Divine Prophecy did not come into existence by accident. The Church of Divine Prophecy cannot be looked upon as a stopgap or a plan B or a fly-by-night or any kind of man-made or denominational church. The Church of Divine Prophecy had its origin in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. That's why it is divine. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10 and 11, we read, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. When they ask the question, what are some of the identification marks of the church of divine prophecy which makes this particular church different from every other church or one of a kind? Well, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that a person does not need to consult manuals or disciplines, or prayer books, confessions of faith, philosophies, and traditions of men. All one needs to consult is the Word of God. Now, in the book of Isaiah, where we're going to use as a foundation of our lesson tonight, chapter 2 in verse number 1, we find these words. Now it says, and the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, within this passage, there are some fundamental facts from Isaiah's prophecy concerning the church. Number one, the prophecy would be in the last days. Many in the religious world misunderstand the last days. What are the last days? The last days began with the ascension of Christ to heaven, which ushered in the gospel dispensation of time. My friends, we're living in the last days right now. We also find out that all nations, as we see it in the text, all nations would flow unto it. My friends, the church is large enough to include everyone. Let me say that again. I said the church of Christ, the church of divine prophecy, is large enough to include everyone. My friends, it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where you work. It does not matter the color of your skin. It does not matter your economic status. The Bible teaches that all nations, whether Jew or Gentile, will flow unto it. And that is so, so vital. It's paramount to understand that this church will encompass all races of people. So this is something that stands out about the church of divine prophecy. Another fact about this church, that it will have its beginning in the city of Jerusalem. It will have its beginning in the city of Jerusalem. You remember in Luke chapter 24, shortly after Christ's resurrection and before his ascension, he left final instructions with his disciples that they should tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endowed with power from on high. They were instructed to wait in the city of Jerusalem. They were not instructed to wait in the city of Galilee, Caesarea, Joppa, or Philippi. And you can read more about this in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here we find that the things that took place on this momentous occasion on the day of Pentecost, it took place in the city of Jerusalem. So those are three significant points about the church of divine prophecy. As to the duration of the church, all one would need to do is to read the Word of God. In Daniel chapter 2, you remember where King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream about a great image, which troubled his heart so that he could not sleep. So he called the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers in to tell him the dream and to interpret its meaning. If they could not, then they would be killed. These men had no hope because they were involved in a false religion. The only one in Babylon who could tell the king what he dreamed and the interpretation of the dream was a young man by the name of Daniel. And God revealed the information to Daniel, and in Daniel 2, 36 through 45, we find the story of how this image was erected, and the image had a head of gold and breast and arms of silver and belly and thighs of brass and legs of iron and feet mixed with iron and clay. Well, the head of gold, of course, represented the Babylonian Empire. The breast and the arms of silver represented the Medo and the Persian Empire. Then we find that the belly and the thighs of brass represented Greek or the Grecian Empire. And the legs of iron and feet mixed with iron and clay, of course, represented the Roman Empire. But in verse 44 of the reading, we find, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it would break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever." Did you get that, my friends? "And it shall stand forever." It was during the days in which the Roman Empire was ruling the world that the Church of Divine Prophecy came to fruition. And it will be here until God declares time to be no more. The stone that became the great mountain in verse number 45 and filled the earth occurred during the days of the Roman Empire. Jesus, my friends, was born during the days of the first Roman emperor, Augustus Caesar. You can read about that in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and verse number 7. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus came preaching, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." What the prophets, my friends, foretold came during the time of the Roman Empire. And then we search the Bible a little bit further, and we come from Daniel 2 to Daniel chapter 7. And around verse number 13 and 14, we read these words, "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came unto the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." And in verse number 14, it says, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion," watch it now, His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Did you get it? It says here that the kingdom would not pass away, and his kingdom would not be destroyed. My friends, listen to me carefully. When Jesus entered heaven after his resurrection, he entered as the King of Glory, and there was given to him his kingdom with dominion and with power. Let me just say this, my friend. He, Jesus, and he alone has all power. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, the Master said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. So we see, my friends, here that Jesus claims to have all power. Now, if Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth, what percentage is left for man? What percentage is left? What authority, what power does men have to create doctrines and to create churches without the Lord's authority? Another passage of consideration as we continue through our lesson tonight, another passage of consideration which speaks about the Church of Divine Prophecy is found in the Old Testament book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, which reads, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." The Lord's promise to pour out my spirit upon all flesh means to be overwhelmed, which is the same meaning as baptism. This prophecy was fulfilled when the apostles received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 among the Jews, and in Acts chapter 10 at the household of Cornelius, which represented the Gentiles. And so all of this refers back to the prophecy of Joel. And so we find in Acts chapter 2 where Peter says that this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. Peter is speaking by inspiration that these men are not drunk as you suppose, but you are witnessing now what the prophet Joel spoke about. He spoke about the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ and the establishment of the church. And so these are things that we need to keep in mind, my friends, when we search the scriptures and understand that there was a church in prophecy, prophesied by Old Testament prophets. And that church came to fruition in Acts chapter 2 in the city of Jerusalem during the reign of Rome, of the Roman Empire. So this is something to keep in mind. Also, you can go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17, just a reference. There, God shares information with David regarding the church of divine prophecy. He says that the seed of David will build the house of God and establish his kingdom. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 12. This house would be built after the death of David. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 12. David, of course, was dead and buried when Jesus promised to build his church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. And as Peter refers to it in Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through verse number 36. Another point is that this house would be built in the name of God. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 13. The throne that will be built will last forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse number 13. And you can also run reference with Acts chapter 2 verses 32 through 36, Luke chapter 1 verses 26 through verse number 33. Now, the question is God referring to Solomon and his building of the temple, or is he referring to Jesus and the building of the church of divine prophecy? He says here, I will set up thy seed after thee. This has reference to Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 3, Paul said concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. This prophecy could not be referring to Solomon's building of the temple or David's literal throne because David's kingdom came to an end and Solomon's temple was destroyed. Neither lasted forever. But Jesus is still sitting and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over his kingdom, which is the church. My friends, as we hasten to our conclusion tonight, the Church of Divine Prophecy is the only church certified in the scriptures. Let me say that again. The Church of Divine Prophecy is the only church certified in the scriptures. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Notice he did not say, I will build my churches. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus promised to build just one church, and he is the savior of that one church. In Ephesians 5:23, Paul says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Someone may ask, well, what is his body? Well, that question is answered in Ephesians 1:22-23, which says, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Also another reference, Colossians 1:18, the Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The Church of Divine Prophecy, or the Church of Christ, is the only church that you can read about in your Bible. And so then as we close, we see, my friends, that there is characteristics of the divine prophecy, the Church of Divine Prophecy, began in the city of Jerusalem. It wears the name of its founder, Jesus, Romans 16:16. The church has Christ as its only head, Ephesians 1:22 and Colossians 1:18. Jesus is the foundation of the church, 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Acts 4:11 and 12. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The church was purchased by the blood of Christ, Acts 20:28. The church stands for truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. The church that Jesus built baptizes for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. So as we close, with a question. What is it that one must do to become a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Divine Prophecy? The book of Acts is filled with example after example of how people became members of the church, and none of them prayed the sinner's prayer. None of them was told to tell of a Christian experience. None of them jumped, danced, and shouted. None of them were told to put your hand on the radio and we'll send you a prayer cloth. None of them were told to speak in tongues as evidence of being saved. They were not voted on as a candidate for baptism. They did not join the church of their choice. They simply heard the word of God, Romans 10:17. They simply believed the word of God, Hebrews 11:6. They simply repented of their sins, Luke 13:3-5. They simply confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. They simply were baptized in water for the remission, the removal, the cancellation of their sins, Acts 2:38. And they simply remained faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. My time for this evening, my friend, have come and gone. My question to you tonight is, are you a member of the Church of Divine Prophecy? Are you a member of the church that you can read about in your own Bible? Are you a member of the church that was started in the city of Jerusalem during the days of the Roman Empire? Are you a member of the church that worships God according to the New Testament pattern of worship? So these are questions that you must ask yourself, and you must answer these things, these questions, in light of the New Testament, the Word of God. My friends, the lesson is yours, the Church of Divine Prophecy. May God be with you.